Good morning, everybody. Welcome today to our online service here at ACC. Hope you're enjoying this new format, and I hope it feels like we're right there with you, in the room with you. We're so glad that you could be with us. I hope you've been able to search around elsewhere on our website at alliancecommunity.ca. Lots of great things for you to discover there, especially if you're joining us for the first time. There's an I'm New tab, and we'd love for you to check that out and fill out a Connect card. We'd love to meet you, get to know you a little bit more. If you have any prayer requests or any comments you'd like to make, that's a great place to make it. And hope you can be a part of what we're doing here at ACC. We have a live host. If you're joining us at 9 a.m., we have a live host that is interacting with you on Facebook. And so if you're watching there, then please jump in on the comments and say hi to those that are around there and let them know that you're here as well. And after 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, then this video, this sermon will be uploaded on Facebook and YouTube, so you can watch it anytime during the week. And so if you're joining us on Tuesday or Thursday or Saturday, so glad to be with you today. God is with you and loves you. He is above time, and He unites us together by His Spirit. I have a couple announcements I'd like to make this morning. One is a bit of a heavy announcement, and that is our this last week, our worship pastor, Aaron Chart, and I agreed to bring her employment to an end here. And so you just join me in praying with her, and that God would be close to her and lead her and guide her in the future. We're going to be figuring things out around here for what we're going to do with Worship Arts Ministry. We'd appreciate your prayers and your encouragement as we go through that. Also, we have a special announcement from Jonathan and Michaela, international workers. And so this is our monthly mission moment, and so let's watch that video now.
Hi, everyone. John here, and I'm bringing greetings from Michaela and myself and our family. In case you didn't hear the news, we're happy to announce the arrival of our daughter, Selah. She was born on February 12th, and both Selah and Michaela are doing well, and they're happy at home, and our boys are absolutely loving her, as you can imagine. We want to take the moment right now just to extend our gratitude to you. Thank you so much for praying for us. Thank you, especially for praying for Michaela and our baby over the past number of months. Selah ended up having to be born by emergency C-section, and so we're very grateful to have been back in Canada for that, as you can imagine. So our plan going forward is to return to Central Asia near the end of April, and we're currently gathering the necessary documents for our daughter to travel and to be included in our permanent residency where we reside. So if you could please be praying for us, that this is a smooth and timely process, so we can get the documents that we need back from the government and embassy, and also be praying for us in the transition, as in the next couple months here we transition out of Canada and back into Asia. That would be so appreciated. We're so thankful for you. Thank you for journeying with us. Thank you for your generous giving, and for praying faithfully for us over these years. We look forward to what God has in store ahead, and we're so thankful that you can be a part of that. So we send our love, and we hope to see you in person soon.
You have made me new, now life
Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your presence here. I thank you that you have made a way for us to come close to you. You took our sins upon you on the cross. And we're not alone in this world. We don't have to figure out all of our sufferings and our difficulties on our own. You are with us. In fact, we do not have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weaknesses. We have one who has been tested in every way, just as we are, yet he was without sin. So let us boldly approach your throne of grace, that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Thank you for welcoming us close to you. I thank you that it's not about us getting our whole act together before we can come to you. That in fact, while we were still sinners, you died for us. You made a way for us who were enemies in your hearts against you to be reconciled, to be brought into relationship with you again. And we can know you and know your presence in our lives. And that's what we need, especially during these days. We need your presence. We can feel very lonely. Those of us who are at home, isolated, not able to see our kids, our grandkids, our friends. They can just feel very lonely. Lord Jesus, we need your presence. So I pray for all my friends now who are watching, that you would be with them and be close to them, that they would know you as Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, there's lots of fear and worry about the future, about finances and about jobs and health. But Lord, you said perfect love drives out fear. And your love for us is perfect. So I pray that we wouldn't worry. We wouldn't worry about what we wear. We wouldn't worry about what we eat. Because you care for us. You care for the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. And we're more valuable than they. So we don't need to worry. We can trust you because you care for us. And so I pray for your hope and your peace to fall on your people today. Wherever they are, whatever they're doing, they would sense your closeness and your peace in their lives. Lord Jesus, I would also like to pray for unity. And it's easy these days to get on two sides of a fence. And there's no hope for reconciliation between those two sides. And Lord, may we be the people that are bridge builders. You were the ultimate bridge builder because we were ultimately on a far side of you because of our sins. And you built a bridge for us to be close to you. So help us in your name to be bridge builders. Draw people together. Show forgiveness and love and patience, kindness, humility. Do that work in us, Lord, so that people will see that there's something different about this community. That there is a redemptive quality in this community. There is light in this community. We need you to do that. And so we trust you. Thank you, Lord, that we get to open your word today. Thank you for Michael and for his heart for you and his love for your word. And I pray that we'd have hearts to listen and wills to obey all that you'd have for us. We pray this for your glory, for our joy, and for the hope of the world. Amen.
Hey guys, it's awesome to be with you today. What a glorious Sunday we have. So in the summers, I often have this great opportunity to take people out surfing, teach people how to do water sports and things like that. And I found in the midst of my teaching of these two things that there are two types of people when it comes to learning a water sport. You have people when you say hit it, and this is when you're in the water. You got people who immediately let go of the rope when you're learning to surf. This is key. So the board's not attached to your feet. And then you've got the second type of person. When you say hit it, they don't let go. They continually hold the rope while getting dragged under the water once the board's way behind them. And you have to stop the boat so that they don't die. These are the two types of people. Today we're talking about forgiveness and the need to let it go. The art of letting it go. And so we want to open the Bibles today. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and open it now. Good. Nice. We're reading from Matthew 18, 21 to 35. And this is what it says. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle an account with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay it, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell to his knees before him. Be patient with me, He begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled all the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him, saying, "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell onto his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay back his debt. When the other servants saw this, what they had happened, they were outraged, and they went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in, said, "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all of your debt. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had the same mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In his anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all that he owed. This is how our Heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Well, that's a big load right there, isn't it? This whole thing starts with Peter asking a very simple question. How much am I supposed to forgive? Is it 7 times? Well, Jesus immediately raises the bar. Not 7 times, but 77 times. Now, this doesn't mean we get out our pen and we begin to count ticks. Each time I've forgiven you until I get to 77, we go, it's all Jesus said. It was up to 77. The idea behind it is to be relentlessly forgiving. Meaning, continually, without exception, the debt or the thing that someone has done against you is to be let go of. I think of small things when I think, actually, of relentlessly forgiving. You know, Jordan and I, in our amazing marriage, we have to do this. And I find that with myself, there's been a couple of times the small things slowly add up. And I recognize I haven't actually let it go. And it shows the best with this one little topic. I am not a homebody. All right. I prefer being out and about. And sometimes Jordan asks me to stay home. Now, over a span of 6 months, she might ask me to stay home like 12 times. And it's the 13th time that she asks me that all of a sudden I explode at her. And she goes, "Whoa, where did that come from?" And that's when I recognize all of these things have just been piling up. And that's on me to go, I need to forgive her for doing that. Even though it's maybe not something specifically, but it was something I actually was holding against her. So small things that add up, the annoying things, the dishes, whatnot. Or sometimes we need to be relentlessly forgiving about the big things. Maybe somebody did something to you that was so treacherous, so awful. It just always sits at the front of your mind. With things like that, sometimes it's a daily occurrence that you have to come back to and go, "God, I forgive the person who did that to me." What I do want to say about this as well, forgiving does not always mean forgetting, nor does it mean staying. If you're in an abusive relationship, and if you think the idea to forgive means you stay in that situation, that's not it at all. It means you get out of that situation, and then when you're out, what they have done against you, you don't hold against them. And you gain new eyes, the eyes that Jesus wants us to have when we see somebody else. And that's one where their debts don't sit on them. And their debts are the things that people have done wrong against us. And those things that people have done, the reason I say I don't think we forget is I think when people have done things against us, it leaves marks on us. You know, if someone grew up in an abusive family, or their father was abusive to them, or your spouse, those are things that leave lasting marks. But that doesn't mean it's just forgotten. It just is forgiven, and we can continue to move on. But we don't want to be like the servant in this story. Don't be the servant in this story. You see, he gets forgiven all the things that he had done wrong, and then immediately following it, it says that he went out and found. He went and found somebody who had done something wrong to him. We all want to see the injustices that have been done to us made right. We want to see the person who made us suffer, suffer. This can look a lot of different ways. It could be a suffering, or well, I shouldn't say suffering, but specifically, we want to have it right in our heart. It could be by going on Facebook and making negative posts about people who do things like that they did to you. It could be going out with one of your friends and talking bad about them when they're not there. And sometimes it's just every time you see that person, maybe it is your spouse, that's what you see, and you want them to know how much it hurt you. And that's where it sits. Well, this servant kind of did that. He went out and he found the person. But are we able to do this? Romans 12:19 says this: do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for the for God's wrath. For it is written, it's mine to avenge. I will repay it, says the Lord. The call on our life isn't to be the one to seek our own justice. No, God asks us if we're willing to trust Him to repay that. You know, when I come to logical arguments of why I actually believe there is a God, this is the logical side part. If there is no God, then the injustices done where no one sees and that a life ends, if an evil man dies and nobody, and he never got what he had coming, he got off scot-free. But if there is a God, it says that all of those things God sees, and it is His to repay. Can you trust God with your heart that He truly desires to seek the justice of your heart and knows that your freedom or your forgiveness is really where you'll find your freedom and your the thing that your heart actually wants? We often think it'll be in the injustice. Once the wrong has been righted, that's when the freedom comes. In God's upside down kingdom, He talks about it. When you forgive, that's where the freedom begins to come. So we don't want to be the servant seeking our own justice. Let it go. And the next thing you see him do is that he's holding on to this bitterness and it blinds him. He can't see, this servant can't see what the great king had just done for him because he was blinded by this other person's wrong against him. I find this is what it's kind of like when we hold on to unforgiveness or bitterness. We are unable to see clearly. It's like a blinder over us. And the best thing I can think of is actually my own personal story. In our family growing up, there was about 10 years that my one brother went through an extremely challenging time of life. He struggled deeply with an alcoholic addiction. And because of that, it began to bring great tensions into our family. Family get-togethers could be really awkward. Sometimes all of us would be together and my brother wasn't there, and you could feel the tension in the room, the sadness. There were numerous stories that caused me to feel negatively towards my brother. Sometimes I began to think it would be better if my brother wasn't in the picture of our family because it would make family get-togethers better. Now, you might go, Michael, that's an awful thing to say, which I would agree with you. But that was the blinders that I had over my eyes, that I couldn't see my brother nor even have a hope for his future because I was blinded by what he had done. My mom had a vision. She says, Michael, somebody's broken your wing. And there's somebody who wants to come and heal that wing, but you won't let them touch it. And I knew that was my brother who had hurt me. Well, I began going, you're right. You're right. I need to forgive. So I entrusted with the Lord. It was a daily thing where I would go, God, help me forgive what my brother has done, the hurts that he has specifically done to me, what's come about from this family. And all of a sudden, in the midst of the laying down and the letting go of seeking justice, I began to receive a new picture of my brother. And all of this really came to the truth that I was getting a new heart when my brother attempted to take his life. I didn't wish that a negative thing would happen, but instead something good. Or I wished for him to succeed in life. So I ended up writing a song after my brother attempted to take his life. And this is that song.
I will fight for my brother. He's holding you, so don't you fall away, my brother.
That's what got born out of this heart change. I wish that my brother would no longer not be a part of our family, but I wished that he would be a part of our family, but not only that, that he would succeed, and that I will not just forgive him, but I'll want to run with him in the midst of the trials. That was when the blinders came off, when I let go of what had happened. I could see him with eyes that I believe Jesus wanted me to see my brother with. My dad growing up, he drove this point into us so much growing up. When my brother and I would get into fights, my dad would come to me. And often my brother was the one who started the fights. And that's what killed me. He would come to me and he said, "Michael, you need to forgive your brother." And I go, "Me? He started it." And he would always drop this exact same line over and over again. And it was this: Christ first forgave you. You see, we're all in need of mercy. And God, our King, set the tone. He set the tone. He's the King. There was a great debt, too great for you or I to ever pay. And he sets the tone by setting us all free from that debt. And he looks at us and says, "See how I modeled it? Will you be willing to extend the same mercies to your brothers and sister, no matter how big the cost?" God looks at us and says, "There's no debt that someone has done against you that isn't forgivable. Every debt can be forgiven, and there is freedom that will be found. But we all are in need of mercy, first from God, and also we're all in need of mercy from each other." I've got this really awesome story of my friend, Colton. He's a local dude from here in Sylvan. But he had this word over, every beginning of every year, he prays, "God, give me a word for this year." And the one word he received for the year of 2017, I believe it was 2017, was faithfulness. Well, the year starts like this for him in this year of faithfulness, God's faithfulness to him. His basement gets flooded. The water tank goes, And then to top it all off, somebody stole his dream motorbike. All right, so his motorbike gets stolen on a Saturday. And it was only a few days later when him and Aaron are driving around, which is his wife, they're driving around and they see the person who stole his bike. And so Colton's like, sweetheart, we're in all-out pursuit. And he begins to chase this person who stole his bike. And they catch on that they currently are being followed because this guy knows he stole this bike. Anyways, chase goes on. It gets crazy intense. The motorbike, eventually, he runs into a ditch and he's stuck. Guy gets out, knows he's caught. And Colton gets out of the car and responds, I think, how all of us would. Opens the door and begins to ream this guy out for stealing his bike. And then his wife leans out the door and says, don't you think that's enough? And it was at that moment that Colton remembers, that's right, I'm a Christian. And he looks at this guy who stole his bike. And he begins to apologize for his own behavior. Saying, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have been screaming at you like this. And he begins to share the gospel with this guy who stole his bike, inviting him to church. Well, the cops get involved not long after that. And Colton never finds this guy's first name out, but he finds the last name out. And all he has is a picture of the guy and his last name. So Colton goes full on Facebook creep and begins to message people who look like they could be his parents on Facebook, like sending a message. Is this your son? Is this your son? Is this your son? And he receives the classic response from any parent who clearly thinks their kid did something, and it was this. What did they do? And, well, Colton tells him, well, your son stole my motorbike, but that's not why I'm messaging you. I told him about Jesus, and I invited him to church on Sunday. Well, they exchange phone numbers, and the mother calls, and the mother is in tears and saying, my son just this last week got out of rehab and the first thing he asked me was to go to church. Anyways, Colton gets to say, well, why don't you bring him this Sunday to our church? That Sunday at church, the mom accepts Jesus. And at the end of the service, there had been an altar call, and the son, who this guy who stole the motorbike, there was a call to like come forward to receive Jesus. This guy never comes forward. But Colton finds him at the end of the service and says, I think you do want to receive Jesus. And the guy said, I do. I just didn't want to go forward. So he prays right then and there for this guy to receive Jesus. To me, this is a great example of what it looks like to extend mercy. Now, the one part of the story I left out was this, that in the time of him catching his bike and them going to church, God asked him, how much would it cost for you to see this guy in heaven? What would you be willing to give up to see this guy in heaven? And he's like, well, I don't know, my motorbike, whatever. I would do anything to see this guy in heaven. Well, it's a cool enough story for what it is, because they're still friends to this day, and that guy does know Jesus. But I think when God looks at you and I, he asks that very same question. How much would Jesus pay for you and for me to be in heaven? And God himself spared no expense. He spared no expense for you and for me for what he had to forgive. And he looks at you and says, are you willing to extend mercy to your brothers and sisters, to those who have offended you in great, great ways? You see, when we choose not to forgive, we all end up in chains. To forgive is to set the prisoner free and to discover that the prisoner was you. That's Lewis Smead. You see, this guy ends up in prison because he wasn't willing to forgive the debt. And the guy who he as well, who he held the thing against, also ended up in prison. God wants us to be free. He wants us to let it go. Are you willing to let go of the thing that someone potentially has done to you that you go, there's no way? But God has freedom from your hurts. before you today, if you're willing to trust Him with it. Can you trust God with the hurts of your heart? And just like Jesus, though those things, the ask here for you to let go of the debt, all of these things that people have done against us, they are kind of like scars. But they're also testimonies. You know, there's certain people when you meet them and you see the freedom that they have, a lot of the times that's because from the hurt that they've had, they've let it go. Well, Jesus Himself is marked because of you and me. Isaiah 49:16 says, "See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands." You see, when Jesus rose from the dead, don't you think He could have had those marks covered up, but His hands were scarred, covering the cost to forgive you and me? When we forgive each other, and when the world sees it, there's a testimony that's being left, but as well a freedom being given. So now I just asked you, is there somebody in your life? Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your kids that you need to forgive. Maybe there's a friend who you're still holding a debt against. And a good thing to think about is when you think about that person, what they done wrong to you, or there's animosity in your heart when you think about them. Potentially, it's the government. You look at how the government's responded. Maybe you need to forgive them. When you look at what they did, it doesn't mean it rights what they had done. We need to trust God that He'll take care of the justice. That's on Him. But maybe you need to forgive the government. Maybe it's a stranger. All I know is this, that God's called us all to relentlessly forgive. And He's asking you to let it go. It's your freedom to be had, and it's found in Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, is there somebody right now that you want to bring to mind that I need to let go of what they've done? Jesus, can you begin to give me the tools and the ability to know how to even make those first steps? Thank you, God, that you are the great healer. Lord, all these things that we have to forgive and going forward in life, we'll need to forgive. Jesus, I pray that we will have the hearts to trust you and that you are the great doctor and you sew up the hurts of our heart that we can live in the freedom that you have for us. Thank you, Lord, for each one who's tuned into this today, Lord Jesus. And I pray you just bless them and give them the strength to forgive as you have forgiven. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Lord bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Turn His face toward you and give you peace. Sing that again. Lord bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Turn His face toward you and give peace. We sing amen, 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 amen. Thank you. coming, and you're going, and you're leaving, rejoicing. He is for you, 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 He is for you.
Guys, Jesus loves you, and to the things that you think are impossible, with Jesus, all things are possible. You can trust Him with your heart. Thanks for tuning in. Next week, we're going to begin a 4-week series on Room to Grow, and we would love to see you then. Well, God bless, guys, and have a great rest of your day.